Please do sit down. Well, today is all about remembering. And I've got some pictures that are going to come up on the screens now. And I want you to tell me what it is that you would be remembering when you see these pictures. So, what are we remembering here? Somebody a little, yes, Ben. Birthdays. Birthdays are brilliant, aren't they? Right, I'd like you to put your hand up if you haven't yet had a birthday this year. Okay, there's a few of us, but lots of us have already had our birthdays. Okay, what would you remember if you saw this? Josh? Easter. What do we remember particularly at Easter? We don't, well, we have eggs. What do we remember at Easter, Isabel? Jesus dying on the cross to save us. Brilliant answer. Fantastic. What about this one? Ellie. Bonfire night. Brilliant. Hands up if you went to see fireworks yesterday. Ooh, not that many of us. I'm surprised. Okay, what are we remembering on bonfire night? What is it that we're particularly remembering? Ben? That's right. I don't know whether you all heard that. When Guy Fawkes was going to blow up the Houses of Parliament under King James. Is that what you said? With King James in it. Brilliant. That's what we're remembering. Okay, what about this one? What about this one? Daniel. Remembrance Day. Yes, that's right. It's remembering Remembrance Day. You see, on Remembrance Day, we tend to wear poppies. Just individual poppies to help us remember the people who've died in the past to keep our country safe. And those poppies, that was the sea of poppies outside the Tower of London. Did anybody go and see them last year? A few of us. There were over 888,000 poppies. And those were just for the people from this country who died during the First World War. And since then, many thousands and thousands of others have also died to keep our country safe and to keep us free. And so we need to give great thanks for all those people that were willing to make that big sacrifice. So as we sit, let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bravery of the men and women who have fought and died for our country over many years. Thank you for their sacrifice. Thank you that we can enjoy living in a peaceful and safe community. And we pray for those around the world now who are suffering as a result of war and conflict. Those whose homes have been destroyed. Those who don't have regular food and water. We pray, Lord, you will give great wisdom to the world leaders to enable them to bring about change and peace and reconciliation to those areas. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, what about this one? What would you remember if you saw this? Anybody other than the students? Yes, Toby. Harvest, that's a really good idea. Any other ideas? Yeah? Breakfast, brilliant idea. Yes, Emma? A snack between meals or Jesus feeding the 5,000? I thought a brilliant picnic. That's exactly what came to mind. Okay, what about if we add this to it? Now what do we think about? Communion, or the Lord's Supper, that's right. Every time that we see bread and wine together, it should help us remember when Jesus died. You see, the bread helps us remember his body when it was broken on the cross. And the wine helps us remember his blood that was spilt when he died on the cross. So whenever we see bread and wine together, we should be looking backwards. We should be remembering and looking backwards to the time that Jesus died on the cross. And to help us understand that a little bit more, Emma and Isabel are going to come and read to us from the Bible.
The reading is taken from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 7 to 28, and it's on your pew sheet.
In the following matters, I don't praise you. Your meetings do more harm than good. First, here is what people are telling me. When you come together as a church, you take sides. And in some ways, I believe it. Do you really think you need to take sides? You probably think God favours one side over the other. So when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper that you eat. As you eat, some of you go ahead and eat your own private meals. Because of this, one person stays hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? You are shaming those in the church who have nothing. Do you think so little of God's church that you do this? What should I say to you? Should I praise you? Certainly not about the Lord's Supper.
I passed on to you what I received from the Lord. On the night that the Lord Jesus was handed over to his enemies, he took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body. It is given for you. Every time you eat it, do it in memory of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant of in my blood. Every time you drink it, do it in memory of me." You eat the bread and drink the cup. When you do this, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in the right way. Don't do it in a way that isn't worthy of him. If you do, you will be guilty. You will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone should take a careful look at themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much for that reading. In that reading, there's four different looks as we think about communion. We've had the first one. We look back at what Jesus did. We look back at what Jesus did on the cross. The second one I want to think about this morning is looking in. I don't know if you spotted that very last verse there. Everyone should take a careful look at themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. So when we come to communion, we look back at what Jesus did, but also we look in and we start to understand why Jesus did it. And it's because of a strange word we use in church sometimes called sin. We have a way of remembering what sin means, S-I-N. It's saying, "Shove off, God. I'm in charge. No to your commands." We often think about sin as kind of breaking rules, but it's also saying no to God. It's saying, "I'm going to be king of my life. I'm going to be God. I'm going to decide what I want to do. And I'm not having anything to do with God." And that makes a gap between us and God. So I've got a little animation there. It's almost as if we are on the left. God is there on the right. And there's this barrier of sin in the way. And we might think of people who are really good and they do the best they can, or maybe us on a good day, so we're like this. And we do really hard and really well, we try and work our best, but we get that far and then explode, or something like that. Or sometimes us on a bad day, or we can think of the worst sort of people, and we're there and they don't get very far at all. But either way, if we're trying to do it ourselves, we fall short. Because there's always ways where we say, "Shove off, God. I'm in charge. No to your commands." So when we come to communion, we're remembering that Jesus died. And remembering that something about that is that Jesus died for us. So he died to take that sin, to take the punishment for sin on himself, to deal with that. So that if we trust in him, we can get to God. We can be friends with God forever. So at communion, it's brilliant. We're looking back at what Jesus did and we're remembering, but not just that, we're remembering why he did it. We're looking inside ourselves and remembering, so if we can see that next slide, remembering what Jesus did and remembering why Jesus did it. So often when we have a communion service, we have this thing called confession. It'll appear on the screen. It's also there on the sheets. And it's saying sorry to God for the things I've done, the ways I've gone that have not been your ways. Sorry that I've lived without you. So let's think for a moment, and then we're going to pray this prayer together. Let's pray. Dear God, we admit that so often we think, speak, and behave your way. We are sorry. Please forgive us. Help us to change and to live with you as King of our lives, because we ask this in the name of Jesus, who died for us. Amen. In our passage, there were these verses. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it, said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And as they remembered that funny word, covenant, which is a promise of God's that we can know forgiveness if we trust in Jesus. So, Father God, we thank you that you promise that you forgive us if we trust in Jesus. We thank you that you've promised to get rid of all the bad things in our lives, to get rid of all the things that separate us from you. You promise that we are your children. We thank you for that. Amen.
Thank you. Well, the children have been sitting brilliantly, but I'd love it if they'd like to come up to the front and join me now. So we're going to sing a song. We're going to sing, "Lord, Lift Your Name on High." And this reminds us that Jesus came from heaven to earth for our sins that we've just been thinking about. So we're going to do the actions, and then we'll have the next bit of the talk with the children at the front. So if anybody else wants to come and join us, then do. Right. Thank you. No, don't go away. Just turn around and face me up here. Okay. Because I'd like to know, Isabel, turn around. I'd like to know who thinks they're really, really observant. Really observant? Okay. So I've got some questions for you then. What was Tim Adams wearing on his head? Well, if you're sitting back there, you'll have been able to see, won't you? Isabel. Bob the Builder's hat, is that true? Yeah, wonderful. Tim was wearing a Bob the Builder's hat. Okay, who in church this morning is wearing a Christmas jumper? No, you can't turn around and look. You have to be observant. Who was wearing a Christmas jumper? Cecilia. Simon, are you wearing a Christmas jumper? It's ridiculously early. Not till Advent. Right, who can remember one person that hasn't had their birthday yet this year? Come on, everybody. No. What about the rest of you? Can you remember anybody? Yes. Your mum. Is that true, Beverly? Okay. That's a bit of a cheat, though, isn't it? There was somebody at the front here who hasn't had their birthday yet. Who was that? John Croft, well done. So somebody was noticing. Brilliant, okay, and without looking, how many singers are there in minor key? Quick, tell me. No, you're counting? Nope. Nope. Ten. You see, when we come together as a church family, we should be looking out for each other. We shouldn't just be thinking about ourselves and what we want and what would make us feel better on a Sunday morning. We are all part of God's family. In fact, we're all part of the family that Jesus died for. So when we come to church, the same as our own families at home, we should love each other. We should care for each other. We should be looking out for each other and noticing each other and welcoming each other. We are all part of the family that Jesus died for. So that's our third look for today. But just like in our own families, there are sometimes problems and difficulties, and we need peace in those families. It's the same in our church family. Sometimes we have issues and all sorts of things that are going on. And the church family is no different. And we need God's peace here in our church family. So before we share the bread and wine with everybody here this morning, we're going to say the peace to each other. And we're going to say the words, peace be with you. Do you want to repeat that after me? Peace be with you. Okay, and I really want to encourage you to stand up, to mingle, to turn around, to speak to those round about you, to say, peace be with you. It's a way of welcoming each other, a way of showing acceptance to each other, a way of saying that we're family. And even you children, as you go back to your seats, you can say that to everybody that you pass. Peace be with you, because together we are family. So just for a few moments, let's stand and say the peace to each other.
So we've had three looks about what we do at communion. We look back to what Jesus did, dying. We look in and we work out why Jesus died. He died for us, to bring us to God. And we've had look out, to look around at each other, putting the community into communion. We meet together. We don't just meet as a bunch of individuals, but we meet, as Kate said, as family. There's one more look in our passage. It was in verse 26. You eat the bread and drink the cup. When you do this, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Communion is brilliant. It's a brilliant visual aid. It's a brilliant retelling of our gospel. It's a great chance to be encouraged in our faith. But it's not the end point. We do it and we do it and do it until Jesus comes again. Jesus will come again. So communion is an important way of gathering and remembering. But one day we won't need it, because we will be with God forever. We've got a little drama that may help us to understand this. Thank you, Ray.
Oh, this is such a good likeness of Andy. I can almost feel he's here with me.
He seems
so close. Just looking at this photo helps me to remember him. It's as if he's here right with me, here in this room. Oh, it's so lovely remembering him with this photo. Going out together, holding hands, walking around Hampstead Heath. Oh, lovely.
Hello, it's me.
I've just got this photo.
Brilliant.
You don't need the photo. You need me. I'm here, right now.
Thank you very much. Round of applause for our thespians. Okay, that was a slightly silly thing that was going on, but did you understand what was going on there? Ray was enjoying that photo so much. She was remembering Andy. It was bringing to her mind all the things that they'd enjoyed together. She'd actually forgotten about him himself. And we're doing communion, but it's not about the bread and the wine, is it? It's about our Lord Jesus. And we look forward to a glorious future. So when we have communion, we remember what Jesus did. We remember why Jesus did it. We remember who he died for, all of us. We look around and we remember that we have a glorious future. We are looking forward. There's always an element in a communion service and a Lord's Supper where we're looking forward to a day where we will be with Jesus forever. And that's great and good news. It gives us confidence in our Christian lives. And part of that confidence leads us to pray. So the Collins family is going to help us and lead us in our prayers now.